Hello and welcome back to the There Is a Floodlight That Never Goes Out podcast. As always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Ed and Will. How are we, gents?
Well, thank you. Very well.
Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you, Tom.
Good stuff. And today's podcast signifies the start of series two of the podcast, where we will be looking into all things Barnsley and Wednesday and beyond for the 2021-2022 season. The Euros have passed. We're not going to talk about that. I think we sort of missed the boat on that one. And obviously last season now passed, and Sheffield Wednesday are a League One club. Barnsley remain in the Championship after a failed playoff campaign. Beginning then with Barnsley and Wednesday, they faced each other in a pre-season friendly at Oakwell training ground on Saturday, where the Reds came out 2-0 victors. Will, how big of a result was this for Barnsley, considering, you know, we had a second team, maybe even third team out?
I think it's like, it's always good to beat Wednesday, but it's not, you know, like you say, even though it was with sort of some of the lads, some of the kids, it was, you can't say, right, that's it, promotion time. Because, yeah, you know, obviously it's impressive to win with a team like that, but it is, as I'm sure Ed will say, just a pre-season game. So you can't look too far into it, really.
Yeah, Ed.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, it means very, very little. I think it's also worth noting that our pre-season games have come thick and fast, and we have training sessions before a game. And then, you know, the game itself isn't perhaps as emphasised as other clubs, but you were deserved from all accounts. I mean, it's behind closed doors, so we can only go off what the media was telling us. The main takeaway that I took from that game was that we definitely need to be in the market for a new keeper, which Darren Moore has confirmed that we are in, which is good. And also, we had a good look at a new trialist, Sylvester, or I can't remember his name is now.
Sylvester Jasper.
Jasper,
is it?
Yeah, something like that. Young 19-year-old from Fulham. So, just another good run out for the boys. Nothing much more than that. There was one quite funny anecdote that apparently Barry Bannon was screaming something on the lines of, it's just an effing friendly, after a bad tackle from, I think it was Victor Adebayo.
No, it was Carlton Morris. He smashed Burner,
Yeah, I mean, Burner looks to be on his way out, so...
There's nothing friendly about Barnsley versus Sheffield Wednesday, though, and I don't think there ever will be. And I'm not saying we really hate that. I mean, I hate Sheffield Wednesday, but, you know, I know the feelings aren't always reciprocated from S6, but, you know, I think one of your boys smashed, I think it was Dunkley, I think he smashed Woodrow early on.
Yeah.
So I think it was just a case of revenge from the Norwich Thierry Henry. But, you know, I think, you know, Will said it's only pre-season. But from the highlights that the club supplied us, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say Clark Oduor looks to be in for another key season. This time operating on the left or right of a front three. I mean, Will, we saw in the 2019-20 season how good Clark Oduor can be, and that was from left back. Whereas, you know, last season he really did go missing, whether that was due to attitude or just Ismail not really fancying him. Do you think this is the season Oduor has to break into the first team?
Yeah, and I think he will. I think on last season, obviously, clearly, I don't know Oduor personally, but he seems like the sort of lads where personality or whatever wouldn't be a massive issue, or attitude. He seems to have a pretty good attitude.
Yeah,
I think it was more a case of just his style of play just didn't fit what we were going for last season with Ismail. And I think that it looks to be a player who can get the ball at his feet and run, and a very skillful dribbler with the ball at his feet. And that's perhaps not what we looked to do with our fullbacks last year. You know, we looked more at getting balls into the box, or, you know, with Styles or whatever. But I think this season, with Styles probably moving into the middle, it opens up that sort of left wing back position, and I would be more than happy to see Clark Oduor make that is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like I said, I mean, I don't know about what Shop's thinking, the new Barnsley gaffer, but I've seen the clips from, we've been training in Loughborough, and it looks as though Oduor's been doing finishing drills with the front three.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly think Shop sees him as a winger rather than a wing back. But I don't even think we can read too much into formation right now. He said after the Rochdale game, the 3-4-3 was only being used because of the familiarity of the players with it. So yeah. Even that isn't nailed on. But, you know, I think that's as far as we can go with the Barnsley Wednesday thing. But it is always nice to beat a lower league club 2-0. And I wish him all the best with the season in League One. Olamide Shadipo, though, Ed, what a signing he's been for Wednesday so far.
Yeah, he's impressed in the cameos he's made. And a good signing of intent for us, I think. Obviously, he had a great season at Oxford last campaign. And our recruitment seems to be steering towards what I was hoping it would be, which would be players who have a point to prove, players who have, you know, in Shadipo's case, done it before at this level. So, you know, I didn't want us to basically come down and sign a load of Championship rejects, but I think our recruitment so far has been excellent, and we'll talk about it more in more detail in a bit. But yeah, Shadipo will bring something we've not had in a long time, to be honest, and that's goals from midfield.
Yeah.
Our main source of goals from midfield recently has been Adam Reach in past seasons. Obviously, he's left the club. Kadeem Harris never really had an end product from pretty much the minute he got here. He had the first good month where he did stuff, and then after that, he was very average. So a goal-scoring midfielder should be a really, real good addition. And it sort of fits in with his whole philosophy that Moore's trying to build around the club, which I'm very happy with.
Yeah, you say Shadipo provides goals from midfield. I mean, Will, we could probably do with a player like Shadipo. Having said that, we have been linked with a striker. His name's Obiulare. As we're recording right now, the press in Belgium are saying it's a done deal, whereas Barnsley for a few days, I mean, Doug O'Kane of the Chronicle said it's very close. Mm-hmm. Are we starting to get doubtful about whether this deal's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it was about four days ago where it was like, everything's done. It's a case of them just saying, right, you know, welcome to Oakwell sort of thing. But they've just sort of gone quiet for a few days, hasn't it? Like you say, yeah. The Belgian media, they did it as a done deal almost about a week ago. It was quite a long time ago. And then, like you say, Doug O'Kane and the likes at Barnsley backed that up. And yet, for the last few days, it's just gone quiet. And that's the last thing you want to see when it comes to transfer, because does that mean talks have broken down? Has he come and thought, you know what, I don't fancy this? I don't know. So it is a little bit worrying, but hopefully it's just a matter of time until he's announced, because there's been a few doubts about whether it's a good sign or whatever. And I just think you can't, you know, he's a player who's played at a pretty solid level in Europe and, you know, when he played at Watford. So, you know, even if it didn't work out for him, as we've seen with the likes of Carlton Morris, can't read too much into it. And yeah. At the end of the day, so far, under our new board, majority of signings have proved to be pretty decent, you know, only with the likes of maybe Marcel Ritzmeier not working out.
Yeah.
But who knows, even he might become a prime pillar this season.
Well, yeah, he's back in training, isn't he?
He is.
Marcel Schitzmeier, as he's been affectionately named by the BBS. But, you know, I think Ritzmeier is a player who's got points to prove, but I think that's all we'll gloss over on him. A striker who Barnsley have brought in, though, is Devante Cole. And yep. This was another one that came out of the blue, but he had a good season last year in the SPL. We say the board's recruitment's not been far wrong so far, but do you think this is too big of a gamble to take?
I mean, you probably have to remind me, Tom, did it ever get reported roughly how much we paid for Devante?
I don't think we paid anything. I think we got him on a free.
I think if we got him on a free, and let's face it, there's probably quite a few players left at the club who are going to be sent out on loan, I would imagine, in these closing weeks of the transfer window. So I think, you know, a player like Devante Cole, yes, it's in the Scottish League, but he's had a pretty decent season. He's quite a skillful, quick player. And that's probably something in that front three, you know, with like Woodrow, for example, you need sometimes that pace man to play off him.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah. I'm more than happy to take a bit of a gamble with Cole. He wasn't the best when he played for us at the start, but he was a young lad. He's had a lot more game time and experience since then. And I think you can't read too much into it. It's like a different player coming, really, isn't it, at this stage 100%. In his career. So I wasn't too upset with that signing. Like I say, very random, very out of the blue, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really out of the blue. And I think, you know, when I remember when, well, we didn't get the pen emoji out, but we hinted there'd be a signing, didn't we?
Yeah.
And because it was at a coal mine where we announced it, people were joking, going, how are we going to sign Devante Cole? And then when we actually did, it was like, what on earth happened here? And then you look into it and you're like, actually, maybe. But we'll see on that front. Ed, along with Shadipo, the Owls have also signed Dennis Adeniran and Jaden Brown. What do you make to them two signings?
Again, two players I can't say I was particularly familiar with before we signed them. Obviously, and now I need to get clarification. I initially thought it was Adeniran, but then I've heard people say Adeniran.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I'm just having a guess.
So I'm going to go with Adeniran, but
okay.
In future episodes, that'll be cleared up. But no, obviously, he was on loan at Wickham last campaign and was good in patches, and a lot of Wickham Wanderers fans wanted him back. I'm not going to lie, I had slight reservations when he joined, purely because I thought central midfield was the one area we were really comfortable in. We've got the likes of, obviously, Barry Bannon and Massimo Luongo, who, for me, make the best midfield partnership there can be in the league. And then you've got Fasayo Delibashiru, then youngsters Liam Waldock, Alex Hunt. So I didn't think we need to add anyone particularly to that. Mm. But in Adeniran, it looks like we're going to get something a bit different. He's already been impressing. I mean, yes, granted, it was against Alfreton, but he started a lovely move that saw us score our only goal of the game. But, you know, that's another slight embarrassment. But, no, I think that's a brilliant signing. Give us more strength in depth. And then Jaden Brown, you know, under the cowl, he was quite impressive. And then, by all accounts, he suffered quite a bad injury in an away game at Brentford and never really recovered to find his form under Carlos Corberan. So it's more, you know, it's a more signing in terms of someone who's got a point to prove, young, hungry. And we desperately need a left-back. I mean, we don't have a recognised left-back at the club before Brown came. We didn't have one all last season, really. And I hope it's not the only left back we sign, but for cover, and even if he's a starter, you know, I'm really happy with that sort of signing. But yeah, I think the recruitment we've done so far has been brilliant. I think the names we've been linked with, they're all sort of players I would take. But I think it's also crucial. I think there's some players in the squad we've got now coming back, the likes of Iorfa and Luongo, who missed pretty much all last season. They're new signings to me. Andre Green, I think he could be a different beast in League One under Darren Moore. I really do. He'll be like a new signing. And then got some youngsters coming through like Karidi Adedoyin, Charles Hagen, some young attacking talent who are really impressing me in pre-season. So they'll be like new signings. So
yeah, you know what? I'm going to have to put in it. I love the phrase, they'll be like a new signing. For you, I think it's really valid because, you know, the like Luongo and Iorfa are brilliant championship players. But Barnsley, it's been I've chuckled a few times when people have gone, we don't need a left back. We've got Ben Williams. He's like a new signing. Do people remember Ben Williams?
It's definitely one of those overused cliches.
But it is.
In you know, there's definitely some validity with players like Luongo and Iorfa. I mean, reports today suggest that Julian Borna will be going to Hanover. Yeah. That's looks to have gone to the FA or the PFA in order to, because he wants to leave on a free and we want a fee. So, you know, for me, if we're doing a tick list of what I want from Wednesday to get from the rest of the transfer window, it's a new goalkeeper. We've been linked to Peacock Farrell. He looks likely to go to Birmingham.
Yeah. But
the fact of being linked with Peacock Farrell shows ambition to me. I'd like another left back to compete with Jaden Brown. For me, that would be is it Conor Glover? How do you pronounce it?
Ogilvie.
Who's at
Gillingham.
Gillingham, yeah. He's a free agent.
I think he's a centre-half these days.
No, he can play left-back, though.
Right. Versatile, though.
I'm going to plug this. There was a great thing on Twitter from Owls Analytics. It was absolutely brilliant, of potential signings, the whole stats behind them. So check that out because I was really impressed.
We'll link it in the description.
Yeah. So it's a must read. I tweeted about it, but yeah, really impressive. And he looks a great possible addition. And we haven't been linked with him. Just want to point that out. So then like a ball playing centre half, that left hand side if Bonner does go. A right back, obviously Jack Hunt has been linked. I would take him. We're fine central midfield. I know Alan Nixon, so take that with a pinch of salt, linked with George Byers. And yeah, I would take George, but it's not a priority. Shadipo, I think that's a great addition. Maybe another winger. But like I said, I think Andre Green will fill that void very nicely.
Yeah.
And then just a classic number nine. This window, the problem is, and I think you guys would agree with me, I would say this is the strongest league one it's been in a long, long time.
I was just about to comment on that. I mean, when you said that the best midfield in the league in Bannon and Luongo, normally I'd agree with you on that. But Ipswich are building a mega team and they've just brought in Scott Fraser, who's the best midfielder in the league without doubt.
He's a great attacking talent for midfield.
I think, but, sorry, Ed.
Well, my point was that everyone seems to be chasing the same sort of players. So when you talk maybe a classic number nine, you'd have maybe looked at, I don't know, a Joe Piggott or someone like that. Now he's gone to Ipswich. Dion Charles doesn't look to be going to another League One club and they want $2 million for him. So I think he'll probably stay at Accrington Stanley. Paul Mullin, I have reservations, to be honest. I don't know whether he was a bit of a flash in the pan one season wonder. Obviously, he's a free agent after leaving Cambridge. So it's who is there, really? Now, I could see, if I'm being looking to the crystal ball, a world where we go for a young Premier League talent, sort of the back end of the transfer window when they sort of finalise their squads.
Doncaster Rovers signed yesterday, I think it's Thiago Chukwueze.
Yeah, that was a great signing.
He would have been an ideal signing for Wednesday, I think.
Well, I'm going to throw a name into the mix that might...
You're going to say George Hurst, aren't you?
I'm going to say George Hurst.
Yeah.
looking back now, I've got no real reservations about George Hurst. He did what he felt was right at the time. I'm sure he's realised it was the wrong thing to do at the time. But that's the benefit of hindsight. He went, obviously, to Paul Warne's Rotherham and didn't really get a look in much. Didn't impress too much. But that was at a championship level. I think at a League One level, George Hurst could be quite deadly. With the right man and management, with Darren Moore. I hope he's still got some affiliation and love for the club and that hasn't been strained too much. So I wouldn't mind bringing George Hurst in, to be honest. Because you've got the experience of Callum Patterson. Josh Windass is now an experienced pro who can play up front. So taking a chance on a young number nine, I have no issue with that.
Yeah, I mean, you spoke about players such as Andre Green becoming a different player in League One. I mean, Will, I'm going to ask you about this. We saw when we dropped down to League One, players who'd been either poor or sort of outcasts in the year before in the sense of Ethan Pinnick, Mamadou Thiam and Brad Potts, they became key players for Barnes in League One. So do you think that Wednesday probably only need to look in their own squad at times?
Yeah, you can't look past your own squad because League One, you soon find, is so different to the Championship. I think, you know, you don't rely on your defence as much. You can play much more attacking football, which is why we saw the likes of Potts, Thiam, etc., you know, come into top players. Same with Pinnock, because he was allowed, you know, wasn't just getting hammered by great attackers all day. It allowed him to actually develop as a player. And I think Wednesday have got a good squad already at their hands, you know, like Ed said, with a few decent signings in some certain positions, they've got themselves a good squad, which I'm sure they'll want to be challenging for that, you know, the top two spots, at least the playoffs. I mean, Ed, if I ask you what, as a Wednesday fan, what are you aiming for? Is it just a playoff position? Is it top two? Is it to win the league? What would you actually take at this point?
This is the weird question because I honestly don't know. It's so dependent, on such a wide array of factors. You know, can we get through to the start of the season without any more off the field issues?
Yeah.
Can we strengthen how we would like to and continue with the sort of signs we've made already? You know, if we can do both of those things, if I was to take my bias out the way, I think most League One fans will be looking at us thinking they're nailed on top six side.
Yeah.
I think, and that's not me being arrogant at all, I think I've got to realise this drop in quality between League One and the Championship, because I personally think there's a bigger gap in quality between those two leagues than the Championship and the Premier League at times.
Definitely, definitely.
And like I said, I don't want to keep saying it, but the likes of Bannon, if we can keep him in League One, like, he could run the show time and time again. So I think a good season would be top six, an excellent season would be top two. I don't think it's necessarily, say, a Sunderland, where if we don't go back up at the first time of asking, it'll be an absolute disaster. But we know all too well that you can get stuck in this league far too easily. So, I'm optimistic, don't get me wrong, and the signings are just making me more and more optimistic. And Chancery, ever since he said that letter, like posted that letter when we got relegated, an open letter apologising, saying he's going to change going forward, he stuck to his word. So you can't ask for more than that.
I think another thing you've got to consider with League One is, yeah, at the top end of the league's stronger than ever. I think there's probably 8 or 9 teams who could feasibly get promoted. But I'd say there's also 10 teams at the bottom end of League One who are, you know, who the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, Ipswich, Sunderland are going to batter. Like Cheltenham Town, maybe I'm giving away my 1-24 predictions too early, but the likes of Cheltenham Town, Cambridge United.
Yeah. I think Fleetwood are in trouble.
These are teams that Wednesday will probably beat and beat pretty easily. So if you're just picking up points from them sort of sides, and then when you do face a Doncaster or when you do face a Charlton, you pick up a win occasionally. Wednesday will finish in the top six. I'm in agreement with you, Ed. I think if you don't come up first time, it's not a disaster. But the League One's just going to get even stronger year on year now, because the Championship becoming Premier League 2 means that League One will soon become Championship 2. And I think it's going to be really strong. Will, I've just got to ask you a question on Barnes, which has just popped into my head. What constitutes a successful year for Barnsley this year?
I think it's hard. It's really difficult, and I don't think we'll know until... I would say a few games into the season, but I don't think we can tell off that, because a few games into the season last year, we were thinking it's going to be a fight for to stay up in the league again. So it's really hard at Barnsley, because although there's been some squad changes, you know, a lot of the core of that squad from last year is still there. And based off that, you'd think, well, are we looking at playoffs again? And whereas League One this year is perhaps a really strong year, I think the Championship this year isn't that great. I think there's been, you know, a lot better championships in years gone by. I'd be happy with... Definitely get out of the relegation picture, get ourselves mid-table, and if we do something like last year and get on some good win streaks, then maybe it's looking at playoffs. But I don't want to get carried away, because I am also understanding that last year wasn't a fluke, but that shouldn't have happened, if you get what I mean.
There was a lot of factors, weren't there? I mean, first factor's got to be no fans.
Yeah, exactly.
It meant we could go on an incredible away run. The second factor's 5 subs.
Yeah.
We could interchange that front three. And I think the third and most key factor is we got a player who's going to play in the Champions League in Daryl DK.
Yeah.
He's a player who Barnsley would never have had.
Sorry to interrupt you, but does anyone know whether the 5 subs rule is being kept?
I think the clubs are going to do a vote on it in the next couple of weeks. But I think The Athletic did a report which said I don't think the clubs are going to vote to keep it. So we'll see about that, I think.
Mid-table upwards, I would be more than happy with. What about you?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think I don't think we should write off another playoff push, because the reinforcements that teams around us are bringing in are having to come through the free agent market and the loan market, whereas we're in a fortunate position where we can pay fees for players. I also think players such as Ramal Palmer, Mess Anderson, another championship season in their legs is going to make them, you know, beasts at this level.
Also,
go on. I know you're laughing, Ed, but
no, that's amazing. I was trying to keep in a sneeze, so it came out like I was laughing.
But I mean, sneezing. But I mean, honestly, people might think I'm being deluded here, but I think our squad's going to look really good.
No, I agree.
Top 14 would be a good season for Barnsley. But once again, if we get to Christmas and we're in the top 10, bringing a couple of players in January, and I think we can easily attack the top 6. I also think, as Will says, the Championship's quite weak on paper. And I think even when you consider how weak it is on paper, teams are going to underperform. I have a sneaky feeling that Sheffield United are going to be poor. I also have a feeling that Bournemouth are going to be poor. So it really doesn't leave too many strong sides. I also think a couple of sides are deluding themselves. Definitely Birmingham City. Just because you've brought in a couple of free signings and a couple of loans doesn't mean that the core of that squad isn't the same squad that always is in the relegation picture until March, until the sacker manager. So I think, yeah, the Championship's not as strong as it always would be, and top 14 would be good. We'll have to wait and see.
If I could just touch on one thing you mentioned. You mentioned Mess Anderson is injured at the minute, which isn't ideal.
No.
Do we have any idea how severe that is?
Well, I think the early signs are that he's not going to be back for the first game of the season. Yeah. So he's not going to make Cardiff.
Right.
I think it's a knee injury, so you know you
don't.
Yeah,
I saw a picture he was wearing like a knee brace.
Yeah,
and you say about not rushing him back, and I think we're in the fortunate position of having Liam Kitching, who can just for now anyway slide into that spot perfectly because he's looked really impressive. Anything we've seen of him, I've liked the look of him. You know, he's really highly rated from Forest Green Rovers, so I think it's one of those we're in the position where we can give him the time he needs to get fully fit and not rush him back.
I think our central defence is incredibly strong this year.
I do.
You've got Mikael Helic, who was the best centre-back in the league, bar probably Grant Hanley last season. You've got Mess Anderson, who's injured, but we've still got him. We've got Liam Kitching, Toby Sibic, Jasper Moon. And we've also got a player who we brought in on a free from Arsenal, Jason Srahar, who's really impressed. In pre-season and in training. So I think we're really strong in that area of the pitch, and that's not something we have to worry about as of yet. Whilst we're in the Championship, and I think have we covered Wednesday in Barnsley enough, would you say, guys?
Yeah, I think so.
We've got to talk about Derby County and their off-field issues. I'll just sort of do a bit of an overview before we start on this. Derby currently in a similar position to Wednesday, where they have a suspended points deduction. But if they fail to pay their players, I think they'll get a points deduction of it. Is it 3 or 6?
For us, it's 6 points.
It's 3 then.
It's a 3.
Yeah. So Derby will get a 3-point deduction if they fail to pay their players. They're also only allowed a maximum of 23 professional players in their squad, which is a big issue for Derby because due to COVID, they fielded a lot of academy players in the cup against Chorley, which, according to the EFL's rules, makes them a pro. Derby don't have a recognised centre-back. They're also very weak on numbers. I mean, yes, the rules do imply they have 23 pros, but it's probably more in the region of 13. Ed, I've got to ask, how up creek without a paddle hard are Derby County as we speak?
Incredibly. Now today they look to have had some light relief because a report suggests that they'll be okay with the whole Chorley affair and that those players won't count. Apparently they've been in dialogue with the EFL and they're positive that, you know, they will be able to sign players. But even then, those players they can sign, it's either, if memory serves me correct, it's either a 1 year free agents on a 1 year, or it's loans on a 6 month. So that doesn't leave you with any options at all. And then I think, obviously, they've got, is it 6 trialists they've got at the minute? They've got Richard Stearman, Phil Jagielka, Sonny Alucci.
Sorry, Walter, just
mentioned Andre Wisdom.
They're Ravel so old.
Morrison. Obviously, Andre Wisdom and Curtis Davis are still training, though. I don't think they've signed new deals yet. I think I missed someone else out.
Baldock.
Sam Baldock.
Well, either way, you talk about those players and they don't fill you with much confidence, I don't think. I think that's a nice way of putting it. The one player in there who I think could be a good signing is Ravel Morrison. Wayne really knows that guy better than any manager will do in the world, to be honest.
I think, unfortunately, Ed, I think we're in a position now, though, with Ravel Morrison, where he's sort of like, you know, to compare it to a relationship, it's the really beautiful girl, but she's a bit of a crackhead, and you can't settle her down. Every manager thinks they're going to be the manager who settles down Ravel Morrison. Alan Pardew's tried it. Sam Allardyce has tried it. Harry Redknapp's tried it. Chris Wilder's tried it. I don't see why Wayne Rooney's going to be any different, even though he was a maverick himself.
Let me give you a little answer to that. And this sounds derogatory, and it's not derogatory at all to Wayne Rooney's management style. But I've mentioned on the pod before, I don't think he's a good manager, and I don't think he will be a successful manager, unfortunately. But Wayne Rooney, by all accounts, when you watch the training sessions, when you watch the stuff Derby County put out, he's very relaxed. And the managers you mentioned there, whilst relaxed, they quite rightly sought an active role in making sure and overseeing Ravel's day-to-day life and making sure he was okay and on the right track. I think Rooney's style of management is much more inclusive and detached, if that makes sense. Inclusive, yes, but at the same time, it gives his players the freedom. I mean, I'm pretty sure he can't remember what game. I think it might be before the Wednesday game. He gave the players 2 days off. I'm pretty sure I read somewhere. So I think his style of management might just benefit Ravel Morrison, because at the age of 28, as Ravel is, I doubt he'll want a manager now overseeing everything he does, because he's an adult. He's no longer a young adult. He's a fully grown adult who deserves to be treated like one on the football pitch for me.
Yeah,
he impressed against Man United by all accounts in the pre-season friendly when he played, as did Sonny Aluku. He's 32 years old now, is Sonny. So,
I mean, you spoke earlier about how you didn't want Wednesday to go down the route of signing Championship rejects.
Yeah,
I think a worst possible summer for Wednesday would have been bringing in your Sam Baldocks, your Sonny Aluku.
Absolutely.
So to see Derby go down this route makes me sort of queasy for their Championship status next year. I personally think it's going to be a miracle for them to stay in the division. Will, we've seen at Barnsley in the past, before James Crine sort of revolutionised our transfer model, we'd often dip into the bargain bin. We'd sign the likes of Amido, Marlon Harewood, Jason Scotland. Now, these weren't always bad players, but they always left Barnsley in a precarious position. How do you rate Derby's chances of survival in the current position they're in?
I think in the current position they're in, I don't think you'll meet anyone, apart from maybe a Derby fan, who can see them staying up. Because at the moment, as you said, they've hardly even got a team who were officially signed to the club. And even if they get they get players in, etc., starting a season in this manner, it's going to set you back from the start. And then if they start losing games, I can only see it going downhill. So I think, yeah, I don't know. I can't see a way where they stay up, really. I can't really see, you know, it's not even about staying up. It's one of those, you can see that team, they're just going to sit dead last in the table all season. And this is going to come back to bite me 100%. But I don't know. I just, with their current state off the field, how they're supposed to put some performances together on the field, I do not know.
I mean, I don't know if you guys will remember this, but Blackpool in 2014-15 were in a very, very similar position. And on the first day of the season, I think they only had three subs and they were all goalkeepers away at Nottingham Forest. And they, you know, I think they finished with like 30 points and rock bottom of the table. So I think there's evidence to suggest that Derby are probably in a position that even with a good season they might not be able to get themselves out of. But we'll see. The Championship is the most exciting league in the world for good reason, and you can never write a side off. But Derby are in a very precarious position as we speak. Shall we talk about some signings that have impressed us? I mean, we've touched upon a few already, but there's been a lot of transfer activity in both the Championship and League One. We'll start off with Wednesday's rivals in League One, though. Ed, what signings have impressed you so far?
You touched upon it earlier, but Scott Fraser, Ipswich, I think that's a brilliant signing. Pretty much every single one of Ipswich's signings have sort of made you really believe that they're going to be, well, title contenders for this campaign. Yeah. Definitely. And, you know, Joe Pickett as well for Ipswich. Matt Penny. I think Matt Penny's going to finish business. I think we obviously let him go, but I think he could do quite well under Paul Cook, for sure. And you do look at them and think, they with Paul Cook as manager.
Paul Cook.
And his numerous voice breaks. I don't think you can really argue a world where they don't win the league. And I don't want to give away my my predictions too much. But yeah, I think brilliant. Another signing that's took my eye, and another team I think will be there or thereabouts, is Wigan, and the signings of Charlie Wyke. Now, I saw Charlie play a bit when he played for Carlisle. And obviously, he had an excellent season last season at Sunderland. But it sounds weird, but I don't think this is a great sign at all, because Wyke without good delivery is a lump up top, to be completely
100%.
Honest. And I'm not sure the wingers we're going to hold are particularly sort of the level of, say, a Nathan McGeady.
No, they're not. They're not. And £10,000 a week for a player in League One is, well, you know, I'm probably going to get a Wigan fan to bite here, but it's mental when you consider they were in administration 9 months ago.
I mean, and I'm happy for the club, don't get me wrong, and I'm really happy that they're back in the feet and they can make these signings and they seem to be a club in the right direction. But I'm not sure Charlie Wyke is perhaps a frugal signing. The player I do think is a good sign, though, is Stephen Humphreys.
Yes,
obviously from Rochdale. I think that's a great signing. And yeah, they're really impressing me, this Wigan set up right now. So it'd be interesting to see how they go along. But yeah, they're sort of the main ones in the League One that have caught my eye.
Yeah. Championship-wise, Will, is there any signings that have caught your eye?
I suppose there's been a couple. One that caught my eye not coming into the Championship was leaving. Do you see Omar Richards has gone to Bayern Munich from Reading on a free? Like, I don't really know what's that about. There's a young lad from Arsenal gone to Coventry. Is it Ben Schaaf?
He's
just been signed on like another 4-year deal at Arsenal and just gone on loan to Coventry. So if he's rated by Arsenal, he's probably quite an exciting young player, I suppose.
You
mentioned we played Cardiff first game of the season.
He was there last campaign there, Ben Schaaf.
Yeah, he was. That's a good point. And I think, well, for him to get him on another year, he clearly impressed at Coventry. So James Collins has gone to Cardiff. He'll score against us on that first game because James Collins always scores against Barnsley.
Sorry, Will.
I don't know. I was going to say that bit of a weird signing from Cardiff, in my opinion. You've got to play like Kiefer Moore and you sign players like James Collins. I think he'll score goals, but I don't know. He was on a free, but not the most impressive signing.
You make a good point there, Will, because Mick's come out and said that he don't think there'd be any more additions made. And I think if you're a Cardiff fan, that's worrying to hear. I don't think the squad they've got right now is good enough to challenge for promotion or playoffs.
I agree.
They keep signing aging players. For me, far too aging. Like, you look at James Collins. Yes, he's a good striker, and yes, he might be back up, but he's 30 years old. Surely you could reinvest those wages into, you know, someone a bit younger with a point to prove. They look to be relying more on Reuben Colwill, and undoubtedly he's going to be a great player. But, you know, do you want to go into a season relying on someone like that quite so much? I'm not sure. He's only 19. So they're placing a lot of emphasis on a few players I'm not sure they should be placing so much emphasis on right now. And I think they should be trying to strengthen a bit more. But Mick knows best, to be honest. So
yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been too many great signings actually so far. No. I think the only one that's really caught my eye, where I've gone, that's a really good signing, and it's a club whose recruitment I'm going to question in about a minute or so anyway. But it's Levi Colwill signing on loan for Huddersfield from Chelsea, and I think that's an excellent signing. He's rated really highly at Chelsea, and it wouldn't surprise me if he has a Reece James-esque season in the Championship for Huddersfield. But Huddersfield's recruitment's been absolutely shocking, in my opinion. Just before I go on to that, Carlos Mendes-Gomez for Luton. Great signing.
I was just about to say, I think great Luton signing. Really impressed me with their signings. The likes of Admiral Musquay as well.
Yeah.
They're signing some great players. Henry Lansbury. I know he wasn't brilliant at Bristol City when he went there for the 6 months, but no. I think Luton Town's recruitment has been really impressive.
It has, yeah. Carlos Mendes-Gomez is a great signing. But is it okay if I just berate Huddersfield for a sec?
The floor is yours.
Jordan Rhodes is probably the worst signing in the Championship this summer. To sign Jordan Rhodes on a 3-year deal is suicide. You're committing yourself to probably 15 grand a week wages for a player who in them 3 years, I wouldn't imagine will score more than 15 goals. Along with that, they've signed Matty Pearson on a free from Luton. The man's probably the worst defender I've seen in the Championship for Barnsley, apart from Cole Kopekawa. And along with that, the fact that Huddersfield last season were so, so poor under Carlos Corberan, and yet they've still not decided to sign players who can press, really baffles me. And honestly, if Huddersfield survive this season, I'll be surprised, because they just look so poor. And the players who they're signing, are they made from upstairs? Are they made by the manager? Because could you imagine Corberan wanting Jordan Rhodes? You know,
it
confuses me.
I think with Rhodes, obviously, I'm probably best qualified to talk about him as I saw him for so many years. I don't want to preemptively say he'll be shite, because as will be the case, he'll come and have a 20 goal season, just to be our luck. But the key issue for me with that deal is the fact it's a 3-year contract. I think that's far too much. I'd have given him a year and then the option to extend. I agree with all your commentary there, recruitment, except, like I said, Levi Colwell's looks to be a positive signing, as does Josh Ruffles, a left back. I think that's a good signing. But when you've got Harry Toffolo, you know, I don't think you really need to be signing another quality left back in Josh Ruffles. Oliver Turton, obviously, you won't want to be reminded of what happened in the playoff final. But not a bad signing. But yeah, I think, and I do berate Huddersfield, and I do say, you know, how poorly they've been run over the past couple of years. But in fairness to them, they've come down from the Premier League and they've not got above their stations and thought, here's a load of parachute money. And I know that's because they've got to pay Dean Hoyle a lot of that money. But they've been run sustainably. And as a Sheffield Wednesday fan, you can't do anything but actually say, right, fair enough. It might not be great, but in 2-3 years' time, you might look back at this period and think that was what was necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a fair point looking at Wednesday, but at the same time, look at Norwich. So, I just think Huddersfield are quite a poorly run club on the football side of things. I mean, obviously, that they're a safe club on the business side, but apart from Colwell, I think Josh Caroma is in for another big season. I think Huddersfield are going to be poor. Peterborough, another club whose recruitment's sort of impressed me a little bit. I think George Grant's a really good signing from Lincoln. But I do fear they're also going to go down the route which we did when we first came up from the Championship. From League One, sorry. We signed Luke Thomas, Malik Wilkes for combined, I think, something like $2.5 million, them two. And they're just really disappointed. So you can't always bank on players from League One performing at this level. But it's going to be interesting. And obviously, we'll be able to touch upon every club when we do our 1 to 24 predictions, which will be out in the next couple of weeks. But I think we're in for a really exciting season. And I also read in The Athletic that, you know, Championship clubs can't afford to pay fees for players. That they're just not, it's not sustainable for them to be splashing out 2-3 million. I mean, Reading received £8 million for Michael Olise, and they're not going to be able to spend any of that. Veljko Paunovic is not going to have any of them funds at his disposal just because of the massive overspending that's happened prior to his reign. And, you know, we had Kieran Maguire on the podcast nearly, you know, 6 months ago now. And he said, despite the fact it being an opportunity to revamp the Championship and clubs deciding to go down a more sustainable model, he doesn't think it'll happen. Well, it looks as though it is. And surely that can only mean good things.
Yeah. I mean, I think the last couple of points I would like to make is, have you seen Chong has gone on loan from United to Birmingham?
Yeah.
And yet he scored for United against Derby. Was it yesterday or the day before? Like, does anyone know what's that about?
Yeah,
like,
he's joining up with them once. He's doing pre-season with Man United and he's going to join up with Lee Bowen.
Yeah, he is. It's right. Something to do with COVID bubbles that just in case there was an outbreak at United, he wouldn't be able to join Birmingham. It's something ridiculous.
Right, okay.
But yeah, I mean, pre-season being spent with Phil Jones, it's not going to do any play good, is it?
I mean, Chong's always been, it's always like had ratings to be a youngster at United. You've got to be rated.
Yeah.
He's just never really done that much.
I don't rate him as a player. And I think, I can see why Blues fans are getting excited. And I would be getting excited because, like I said, he's been one of the hottest prospects in Premier League academies for a while now. But the proof, proof's in the pudding. He hasn't done much when he went to Werder Bremen. He hasn't done much when he went to Belgium. Was it Belgium he went to last
year? Yeah,
Club Rouge. So, and I'd say those two are both obviously better, especially Werder Bremen, better quality than the Championship. But it'd be an interesting one to watch that. I think it could be a little bit of a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the final point I was going to say is, we mentioned it earlier, it's just been made official. The EFL has confirmed that it will go back to 3 subs rule from a 7-strong bench for the 2021-22 season across the Championship, League 1 and League 2. So there you go, 3 subs.
Which I think we'll see the trimming down of a lot of squads, including Barnsley's. I think the likes of Victor Adeboyejo, maybe George Miller, though he is impressing at right wing back, Isaac Christie-Davies, Rudy Pash. These sort of players, I think, will all get loan moves or leave the club permanently.
Yeah.
Is it okay if we just end on this final point?
I've got one point to make. Just, and that's because as we're recording, Wednesday's team sheet has come out for our pre-season friendly against West Brom behind closed doors. And they just
up the Wednesday, by the way. I hope you batter them.
there's a couple of notable points. Number one, again, youngsters like Josh Dewodo playing at right back. Adedoyin up front. I think Darren Moore, perfect man to develop those players. Secondly, we've gone back to a back four. Hopefully, we stick with that for the season. But the crucial point for me, we've got 2 trialists on the bench, one of which I assume is Sylvester Jasper. That is his name, is Sylvester Jasper.
Yeah.
And who knows who the other one is. But there's no Colin Patterson in the squad. So,
right.
I don't know. It could be a slight little knock.
Maybe we're signing him because we can't get Ulare, so we've gone for him as a target man.
Also no Borna, I've realised. So, looks like he might be jetting off to Germany.
Right.
Yeah. Either that, or he's playing opposite in the other game we've got this evening.
Yeah.
I
was just going to mention as my final point, Dane Murphy's departure from Barnsley to Nottingham Forest, which was made official yesterday. I can't help but feel a massive sense of probably betrayal. And I know it's a bit of an odd one, but I do feel a bit betrayed at Dane Murphy because the club stuck with him for a good year where the communication with the fans was poor, the signings were poor, and the team on the pitch were poor. And all of a sudden, we have one good season, probably due to the magic that was in Valerian Ismail's head and the boots that were on Daryl DK's feet, and he's taking massive credit for it. I honestly don't think Dane Murphy's that good, Forrest. I think you've got a decent Championship CEO. He's nothing special. He's no Gauthier Gannai. I won't even say he's a Ben Mansford. I think he's a decent Championship CEO. And I know this is going to sound like sour grapes, but I hope he fails massively. And I hope that he gets sacked at Christmas because he's put the club in a really shit position thankfully we've replaced him quickly. Thankfully we've replaced Ismail quickly. But to lie to the club, I mean, Michael Helic did an interview in Poland where he said Alex Smowat told the players that he was leaving the club, and this was in April. To tell the fans, even up to, you know, mid-June, that Alex Smowat might sign a new contract, I think it's pretty terrible to lie to the fans like that, and I hope he fails massively.
I understand your point, but as a neutral, you've got to, unless it's absolutely a done deal, you've got to have that element of sort of professionalism and, you know, artistic license, as you might call it.
Yeah, but I mean, when the season ends, you can say, this was mid-June he was telling the fans this. So, I mean, the season ended it on the 22nd of May, I think. Like, he could have said to the fans, right, we've negotiated with Alex Smowat. We've offered him the best deal in the club's history. Unfortunately, we've not come to an agreement. He'll be leaving.
Yeah.
Instead, he said, you know, when he comes back from holiday, we'll sit down with Alex and I'm really confident something can get done. Well, that was just a lie.
It's not technically what you're saying is true. I completely understand your point and I get why you might be annoyed at that. But I don't think that's particularly a Dane Murphy issue. That's more of an issue of, not an issue, that's more the reality of confidentiality in these sort of agreements. And that until that dotted line signed, it could technically, there could be a massive U-turn, he could decide to stay. So, no, I mean, I think you got to look at what Dane Murphy's done and applaud him.
I'm not going to.
I know you're not going to, but I'm going to. I'm the one applauding Barnsley and you're not. What a change with that size. And, you know, I think at Forest, I don't really know why he's gone to Forest.
Nor do I.
Pretty tumultuous club. But is he 35?
I think so.
So, you know, he's making a name for himself and fair play to him, and I hope it's successful because Forest are a massive club.
Oh, shut up, man. I'm not having this. Forest, right? Barnsley have done more in the past 20 years in the Championship than Forest have.
I'm not even responding to that.
We have.
What a ridiculousness.
We have. Why haven't we?
Can we just get for clarification? Are you categorically saying Barnsley are a bigger club than Forest right now?
No, I'm not. Okay, no, I'm saying Barnsley are a better placed club than Forest, though, at the minute to get out of this league.
I would agree with you in that sense, yeah.
And I also think that we're already seeing Dane Murphy nicking our signings. Zian Fleming, first one. We were interested in him. Forest are after him. Sandro Kolenjevic, we've been after him for about 2 years. Forest are going to sign him. It's intellectual theft.
But unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it.
I hope we take him to court.
How can you take him to court?
Intellectual theft. That is James.
Thought crime. Is that what we're saying now? We're in 90s.
No, you can get done for that. You can get done for intellectual theft. The spreadsheet's James Crine's intellectual property.
Well, I guess keep him posted.
Our new CEO, Khalid El Ahmed, I think that's his name. So, Swedish American graduate, typical Barnsley appointment. No idea who he is.
We've got him from the City Football Group, though, and that's exciting.
Yeah,
every appointment you make now, you can have full confidence in without really knowing.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like the new manager, did we know much about him? No. Was I a lot more happy to see him than some shit rotting Championship manager? Yes, because clearly he just works better.
I wanted Alan Kirbishley, mate. Yourself. I think the club just makes really good appointments these days. But even then, you're always going to have that little bit of, you know, uncertainty, just because of a fella from Portugal and. You know,
Mourinho's number two. He's gonna piss the league.
Jose Mourinho will forever scar me. I don't think Shops is reincarnation. I think we've got an exciting season of football ahead. And I hope you stick with us on the There Is a Floodlight That Never Goes Out podcast to listen to our thoughts on the ensuing season. Like we said, we've got 1-24 podcasts coming out in the next couple of weeks. I'm sure there will be a podcast in between that as well because, you know, the transfer window is in full flow now. and I'm sure big news will be coming out of Oakwell and Hillsborough. As always, if you've got to this point, well done, because it's not easy to sit through an hour of podcast in this heat. And I hope you can follow us on Twitter at FloodlightPod. Subscribe, leave a comment, and we'll see you in the next podcast. Thank you.
Thank you very much, guys.
Cheers, guys.